Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
My name is Ryan McKeel, and I am calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. I am somebody who identifies as male. I'm a cisgender male. And I often wear skirts, blouses, scarves, and things. Yet, I find that my masculinity is unique to me, and I don't think we can necessarily associate character traits with masculinity, but rather just allowing people to define it as themselves.
Doug, calling from Roxbury. My mom was a single mom, and she raised four boys by herself. We were always taught to be able to express ourselves. So I think empathy is a big thing.
Women are becoming more equal in the roles, and it's really nice to be able to see things like that happen. However, for people that, you know, really want to be, you know, the man that they grew up watching and they grew up, you know, living with, for a lot of guys, being that guy now, it's almost impossible and almost even frowned upon a lot of times.
We heard from so many of you, and we want to thank you for calling in with your thoughts on our masculinity series. And today we actually end our week-long look at masculinity in the United States in 2018. And so far we've mainly talked with and about cisgender men, which is people who identify with the gender assignment they were given at birth. But that's not every man's story. Take Asher Diaz, who was assigned female at birth, but as far back as he can remember, he didn't feel that way.
I would go up to my family and tell them, I'm a boy. And they would look at me very confused and say, what do you mean? I'd been born a girl. They had dressed me as a girl, and I would hide and run from my aunt, who had some traditional beauty standards at the time. And there are pictures of me that we now laugh about where I'm in the corner as a toddler crying in a dress because I didn't want to be in the dress.
When Asher was 24, he began his gender transition. And since then, he's had to answer a lot of questions about his masculinity.
People often ask me, how did you know? How do you know your gender? And I haven't found a great way to articulate it yet. The best way I try to describe it is if you were to wake up in the morning and you couldn't use your senses to either feel or see your body, how would you know your gender?
I spoke with Asher about what being a man has meant in his life, starting with his own family.
For half my family, it wasn't a surprise. I think because I had told them at a young age that I was a boy, and they had seen me playing with my gender or being more masculine presenting in my early 20s after college, that I think things started to click for them. And for some family, I think it was probably a shock. I have an uncle who I grew up with, who also lived with my grandparents, and we're still close, but he's a born-again evangelical, and it was definitely a painful process with him. I think it challenged both of us to continue to love each other, even though we were butting heads about what we thought was right. And, he had told me things like, I believe you're sinning, and it was very hurtful things to hear. And I always say it took about 3 funerals and 8 years for us to come to a place of understanding of, I don't quite understand where you're coming from or even think I agree, but I still love you. And I always say, you know, he's my emergency contact. He's the person if I were ever in trouble, I'd call first. So it was definitely a process and a mixed reaction. And I think in a lot of ways, I was really fortunate. I had a late aunt who actually worked for WNYC, Elaine Rivera. I always say we were kind of the intellectual outcasts of the family, and we got each other. And so she was the first person who actually asked me before I knew. She asked me, do you want to be a man? And I remember at the time I said, you know, I'm just not ready to answer that question. And she respected that. And it was only probably a few months later where I called her and I was like, you know, that question you asked me a few months before, the answer is yes. Like, I want to transition. This is who I am and this is how I feel. And fortunately, she was a great advocate for me. And so rather than me having to constantly come out to a million cousins and people, she would often go first and share the news with them, which gave them a moment to process, okay, this is happening, and kind of spared me their initial reaction that may have been hurtful or not. And so I feel tremendous, not only love toward her, but gratitude for her being that advocate for me.
And then once you made that transition, how has it felt for you being, if you will, on the other side, now being considered a man in our society? And have you learned things that you probably didn't know before, didn't realize? Are you treated differently?
The short answer, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think, I have what they call passing privilege. So I passed right away and was perceived as male probably about 3 months into hormone therapy. And now I walk around with a full beard, and I've experimented with being out and living stealth and not being out at work and telling people. And I used to have a rule for a few years where I said, I'm only going to tell people if I'm romantically involved with them or I'm at the doctor's on a need-to-know basis. And that was a struggle because at times it felt like I wasn't being my authentic self, or I couldn't be honest about my growing up and some of the feminine or female socialization I had had. And there are things that happen, you know, in traditionally male spaces or masculine spaces, such as the barbershop conversations you hear within the first year or two of my physical transition, where everything was so concentrated on the physical and legalities and the medical that I think after a year or two, I began to notice small things that were happening. I remember I lived in Chicago for several years, and I was walking in my neighborhood to the train, and I was in a hurry, as most people who live in cities are usually, and it was probably around evening, maybe 7 or 8 p.m., so the sun was setting, and there was a young woman walking in front of me, and the faster I would walk, she would walk even faster, and I was like, what's going on here? And I realized, you know, after some thought, once I was waiting on the train platform, that she was probably fearful or scared of, you know, who's this strange guy walking behind me? And it was the first time I had really realized the presence I was taking up in the world then, and something that was new to me that I'd never experienced before. And there are things that happen, you know, in traditionally male spaces or masculine spaces, such as the barbershop conversations you hear. I think the thing that was most striking for me when our current president said, you know, the things he said on the Access Hollywood tape, all these journalists and all these other men were coming out and say, oh, I never hear conversations like this. And I just kept thinking to myself, what a fool, like they're full of crap. I hear these things all the time now that, you know, what people, men will say when women aren't in the room. And so I think those things have been interesting to navigate on the other side, and also learning how to socialize with other men, particularly straight men or being in traditionally male spaces like the barber shop, and realizing that there are emotions there and trying to figure out different ways to be a man in the world, that we are not exemplifying these harmful behaviors or these toxic behaviors. And so that's an ongoing struggle. I think so much of our media today concentrates on the physical aspects and the sensationalized aspects of transitioning, that I'm really seeking and desiring stories about the nuances of trans experience. And what does it mean once you transition physically? And what does it mean to be a man who happens to be transgender in the world? And how do you navigate that? And I don't see, or I'm not seeing those stories as much. It feels like my journey has landed me here, it feels like much of the nation and culturally we're still catching up to those stories and they're a little behind.
You mentioned being in traditionally masculine or male-dominated spaces. Mm-hmm. And if you are sort of in a situation like that and you hear the locker room talk or you hear, or even worse, you see things that could be considered problematic or the phrase that's now, you know, very popular, toxic, do you feel a responsibility to say something? Do you have to address that? Or is it on a case by case?
I would definitely say it's a case by case. I recently did a technical training program for to pivot in my career to my current role, web development program. And there was one friend I had made who was constantly making these sexist comments. And each day I would try to challenge him on it in a way that wouldn't have him shut down, but that he would hear me. And it got exhausting. I was like, I don't know if I'm doing any good here besides saying, hey, I don't agree with what you're saying, and I'm going to be the one person in the room that says that's not cool. So I try to pick and choose my battles and also assess, like, do I feel safe in this space? How can I approach this? And also try to think about, are trans men held to a different standard than non-trans men? Do we, because we know what this experience is like, or at least I know what this experience is like, navigating the world as a woman for X number of years, do I have a responsibility to say something? And those are questions I grapple with constantly, of when to say something, when to challenge something, given the experience I have and now the privilege that I have.
And the series that we're examining this week is taking a look at masculinity in all of its shape and forms and as many as we can try to get to. The big central question here is, what does it mean to be, quote unquote, a man in the United States in 2018?
Yeah, and not to take a out on that, I think that's something I'm still figuring out. Just given this, I would call it unique perspective of knowing what it was like to walk through the world as a woman and being a man now and being in a position where I can really create that something new if I wanted to. And so I was thinking about, you know, who are the male figures in my life? What qualities do they have? How do they, you know, perform their masculinity, and what can I take from that? And can there be beauty in that? And I think about, you know, three things. One, being a person of integrity, being kind and being a person of your word. And those are things that the father figures in my life, growing up with my uncle and my grandfather, and culturally we grew up with, and they still exemplify to this day. And I don't know if those are specific to gender. I think those, you know, can be across gender. And so, not to take another out here, but maybe it's just about being a good human being at the end of the day, and walking through the world as a kind person with integrity.
I don't think that's an out at all. I think it's a new way of really approaching this. And there's been so much focus on toxic masculinity. And one of the big questions I had throughout the week is, we talk a lot about the negatives, right? About masculinity and patriarchy and all these really heavy things. But aren't there some positive elements to how we define masculinity or what we consider masculinity?
I'd like to think so. And if not, then I might be in trouble. And I think often when I think about masculinity, I think masculinity doesn't always equal man. It can also be a masculine woman. And what does that mean? Is it performative? Is it how you dress? Is it qualities? Do I identify it with strength? And is there also strength in femininity? And how is that performed? And for me, my constant journey is, and probably will be, how do I perform my masculinity and gender in a way that isn't contributing to the toxicity? Is there ways, elements I can take to create a new masculinity, we will, or maybe one that already exists that isn't harmful?
Asher Diaz is a web developer at UT Austin. Asher, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.